This is HPR episode 2809 entitled, The Blue Oak Model License, and it's one big gotcha. It is hosted by first-time host Joel D, and is about 21 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, introducing and examining a new and elegant permissive software license.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi, this is Joel. This is my first ever episode of Hacker Public Radio. I found out about Hacker Public Radio at least 2 years ago. Believe it or not, through the banner ads on the Overcast podcast app on iOS. So whoever's idea it was to have those ads, you got at least one listener out of them. And it took me a little while to catch on to the multiple author aspect of this network, but once I did, I was intrigued, and I've been meaning to record an episode for at least a year now, and I have a lot of ideas, and I finally decided to make an episode about a new permissive open source license that was just released this month, but maybe now that I'm recording one, the floodgates will open, or we'll see. I have small children and a day job, and I'm a perfectionist, so it's sometimes hard to make myself do things that I know won't turn out right, and this recording will not turn out right. I do have a nickname or a handle. I'm often Velcro Van online. It doesn't mean anything. I just like the sound of it, and it's almost always available as a username. But since my real name is on almost everything I do, I'm Joel D on Twitter and Mastodon and Reddit and many other places. So I figure I might as well just use my name Joel here, or Joel D, or Joel Duick. So I'm talking today about the new permissive open source license. It's called the Blue Oak Model License 1.0.0. And you probably know this in licensing in open source or free software. There's a big difference, and I'm not going to go into that, and you probably know about it anyways, or it's another episode topic. But there's the idea of copyleft, where you release your source code and under a license that binds people who use it to also release any changes they make to the software as open source or as free software as well. And then there's the permissive license, which is basically a license that gives maximum permission for users or of your software and your source code to use it however they want and release their changes back to you or not. It's up to them. It's very permissive. And so this license that I'm about to talk about falls under that permissive category. I should add that I'm not a lawyer. You can't take any advice here as coming from an expert. But this license that I'm about to talk about, it was written by a council of lawyers who are also as far as I can see every case, also developers themselves. So that's great when you have legal expertise married with industry know-how and practical knowledge. For myself, I've kind of settled on using, for permissive license, the Free Software Foundation recommends the Apache 2.0 license, specifically because it protects licensees from the author coming back at them with patent infringement claims. And so this license does as well. And maybe your eyes are about to glaze over and you don't want to hear a lot of legalese, but I'm actually going to read the license for you because it's very short and very clear, and it seems to cover almost all the bases except for one important base, which I'll talk about later on. So here is the text of the Blue Oak Model License, and see if this doesn't appeal to you for your project. It begins, Section 1, Purpose. This license gives everyone as much permission to work with this software as possible, while protecting contributors from liability. Section Acceptance. In order to receive this license, you must agree to its rules. The rules of this license are both obligations under that agreement and conditions to your license. You must not do anything with this software that triggers a rule that you cannot or will not follow. Copyright. Each contributor licenses you to do everything with this software that would otherwise infringe that contributor's copyright in it. Notices. You must ensure that everyone who gets a copy of any part of this software from you, with or without changes, also gets the text of this license or a link to, and then they give the URL at blueoakcouncil.org. Excuse. If anyone notifies you in writing that you have not complied with notices, section above, you can keep your license by taking all practical steps to comply within 30 days after the notice. If you do not do so, your license ends immediately. Patent. Each contributor licenses you to do everything with this software that would otherwise infringe any patent claims they can license or become able to license. Reliability. No contributor can revoke this license. No liability. As far as the law allows, this software comes as is without any warranty or condition, and no contributor will be able to license, will be liable to anyone for any damages related to this software or this license under any kind of legal claim. And that's it. I think it's about 250 words. It's pretty short and sweet. There's not a lot of legal language in there. Not a lot of legal jargon. The language is all very legal. And that's it. It's very understandable and also legally robust. And that's my opinion based on reading it as well as reading discussion and comments and arguments in favor of it by one of its authors. And there's really only one issue with it, as far as I can say, but as I mentioned, I'll get back to that. So you're probably very familiar, a lot of GitHub repos and repositories and projects use, if they're going to use a permissive license, they use the BSD license, or there's the variants, the three clause variant, the two clause variant, or they'll use the MIT license. And one of the authors of this license wrote a blog post kind of introducing this Blue Oak license, as well as explaining the problems with MIT and BSD licenses. And I just kind of want to note some of those, which they kind of rang true to me. He has a blog post called The Deprecation Notice, MIT and BSD. It's time to retire 30-year-old academic licenses. I'll put a link to this in the show notes, and I won't read every point he makes in here because I don't necessarily agree with all of them, but there's a good set of them here that do seem to be obvious. The first one being the one that the Free Software Foundation has already identified, which is that MIT and BSD licenses don't address the patent issue. So if you use open source or free software licensed under one of those two older licenses, it is conceivable that the copyright holder can then patent some of that technology and then come after you for infringing on patents in that software. Even though they've given you a pretty permissive license, patents are, from what I understand, are covered under a different body of law in most countries. And so because the license doesn't address patent rights, then you know that's a danger to you. And kind of the idea with a permissive license is you want people to feel safe doing just about everything they might want to do with the software. You want adoption. You're not really obviously going for compensation or even credit in most cases. But you want them to feel safe. So, you know, if you don't protect them from the patent issue, and you never know, you know, software can be sold or acquired by large faceless corporations that are not always on board with the altruistic spirit of free software. So that's a problem with MIT and BSD. They don't address patents. The Blue Oak clause for patents is short and sweet, and it says simply that each contributor licenses you to do everything with the software that would otherwise infringe any patent claims they can license or become able to license. And it also says that this no contributor can revoke this license. So right away, if you're looking at using Blue Oak model licensed software, you can feel pretty secure from that issue. Apache 2.0 does address the patent issue, which is why the Free Software Foundation recommends it. A problem with MIT and BSD, there's confusion about what exactly they are. Are they a license or are they a contract? They don't say, but licenses and contracts are dealt with. Again, it's kind of like patents as far as, from what I understand, they're separate bodies of law associated with each of those. And so, you know, when somebody wants to enforce a license, that can result in confusion. This is a point in Kyle's post about this, the weakness. But the Blue Oak model license's way of solving this is to make clear that this is a license and a contract. And so it says the rules of this license, this is the Blue Oak license again, are both obligations under that agreement and conditions to your license. So that makes things somewhat clear. Another problem with MIT and BSD licenses, and frankly lots of other permissive licenses, is that there's really no path to forgiveness. If there's no grace period if the license is violated. And I can illustrate that again by pointing out the solution in the Blue Oak model license, which is to give everyone who breaks the license 30 days after being notified to comply with it. And the virtue of this approach is that, again, it's about a permissive license is about helping users and even companies that might consider using your code to feel safe in doing so, that it's not going to come back to bite them. If you license your software under the MIT or BSD licenses or similar licenses, and for example, later sell your software or company to another company, that company may search for infringing companies and just sue them right out of the blue. I believe Kyle has noted that this has happened in the past. And so anyway, I don't have a lot of expertise in that, but it makes sense to me that if you're going to protect people from legal traps, just like with the patent clause, You want to give them a grace period to say, you know, if you do violate this license, you've got 30 days. You make it right, you're good, you're fine. There's not going to be a possibility of a snap lawsuit from the holder of the copyright. Hope that makes sense. One last problem with the MIT and BSD licenses is they kind of assume that there's only one copyright holder. They kind of assume that the copyright holder is either a single person or an institution that all of the contributors work for. So it's kind of unclear how the copyright of all the individual contributors should be treated or handled, or whether they're even handled by the license when those contributors are separate people, you know, working for other companies or working for themselves. The Blue Oak Model License addresses this with language that says each contributor. So each contributor licenses you to do everything with this software that would otherwise infringe that contributor's copyright in it. Same with the patent rights. And so, you might ask the question, well, what makes you a contributor? From my uneducated perspective, if you offer up any source code to the maintainers of an open source project, you're a contributor. You don't have to necessarily sign anything, and you're already covered under the license at that point, since you were using the software if you were going to be writing additions or changes to it. So that makes you a contributor. So the Blue Oak Model License is very clear about how about the fact that each contributor has his or her own copyright in the software that they contribute, and that each separate contributor is separately authorizing everyone to do anything with that software that might otherwise violate their copyright. So that's simple, clear, and understandable. There's only one problem with this license that I have found, and it may be kind of a big one depending on what your perspective is or what your particular project is, and that is that as written, the Blue Oak Model License does not offer any kind of protection for giving the original contributors attribution or credit for the work that they did. So if I wrote software and released the source code under the Blue Oak Model License, it would be perfectly legal for you to take that software and remove any mention of my name and simply re-release it under the same license. You would have fulfilled the terms of the license, which require you to include the license itself. But you would have succeeded in erasing me from my own invention, potentially. And that's, you know, that is what that is. I actually emailed one of the members of the council about this issue, and his response was basically, yeah, we wanted it. It kind of comes out of the approach that they took in building it, which was that the Blue Oak Model License was basically the unit set of all the best features of all the permissive licenses out there, written as simply and robustly as possible. And a credit requirement for contributors simply just didn't make that cut, apparently. I don't know any other way to put it. So that I think is a concern. I think even the most permissive licenses, other than, you know, attempting to put something in the public domain, still allow you to, you know, try and retain some kind of a copyright notice or something. So shortly after that email exchange, the terms of use for the license itself, the Blue Oak model license itself, were changed to allow you to make changes to the license as long as you remove any mention of Blue Oak from your new tweaked license. So I did write my own tweaked version of this license for a particular project that I have in mind, and in which I require credit to be given to particular contributors to the project. And that project is a website that I've been working on for 20 years called The Local Yarn. And I'm not going to get into that now, but I will put a link to the modified license in the show notes as well. I don't know what to call it, so for now I'm calling it the Local Yarn license. And I would like to give credit to the excellent members of the Blue Oak Committee, but again, their permission or terms that they give for their license say that if you make changes to the license, you have to remove all mention of Blue Oak and Blue Oak Council as well. So I'm mentioning them in this podcast, and I figure, you know, it's probably not going to leave the room. One of the members of the council did say, you know, it's okay to mention us. Just don't put our name on the actual license itself that you create. And of course, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going to have to accept responsibility for any changes I make, as will you. You know, maybe take a look and see what you think of my changes. And that's all I have to say about this. It's a lot of legalese, and it's not as fun as talking about programming. And I do have some fun programming episodes in mind. But I just wanted to hit record and get this out there. So thanks for listening. And keep your stick on the ice.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.